Hey there, you're welcome to Founders Connect, a show where I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in Africa. This is the right show for you to be listening to if you love behind-the-scenes stories about people, their careers, and not their businesses. My name is PC Timmy, and I'm very, very, very delighted to be your host. You can follow this conversation on social media, hashtag Founders Connect. You can watch the video of each episode on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect on YouTube to find the playlist. Also, please share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, leave a rating, and you know, share it, hashtag Founders Connect. Enjoy the episode. Hey guys, my name is PC Timmy and I'm your host for Founders Connect. On this show, I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in the African tech ecosystem. Today, I'm having a conversation with Kemi. She's the founder and CEO of Baby Migo. It's one of my favorite products because they do something that's completely different from most of the companies that we've featured here. So stay and make sure you watch this video to the end. Hi, Kemi.
Hi, Piz.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for honoring this invitation. We're very excited. Collectively, the entire crew is excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I mean, I know you watch a couple of my shows, but absolutely, one of the key things that I really like to do is to focus it on the people, right? Like, really want to hear your story. And then eventually we'll talk about like the company and what you're currently building. And the story doesn't start until you learn like your background. So like, tell me as much as you can, as much as you're willing to share about where you grew up, how you grew up, what it was like.
Okay, so I grew up in Lagos. I mean, I've done everything in Lagos from, I was given birth to in Lagos. I went to University of Lagos. I served in Lagos. Like, I think my parents just didn't want me to leave Lagos. So I grew up in Lagos. I grew up in a very loving, close-knit family. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very close-knit family. And like I said, my parents are actually teachers. So my dad is a retired principal and my mom is also a retired teacher who worked with the Lagos State Government and rose to deputy director level up until she retired. So I feel like that sort of contributed a lot to how my parents trained me.
Right.
You know, they were very, very invested in, you know, every little thing. I always make a joke that even when I went for like my jam and, you know, post-treatment and all that kind of stuff, my mom would always like, she would be the one to take me there. She would stay outside the hall, wait until I'm done with the exam. And then say, okay, are you done?
Well done,
you know. So my mom is, you know, my parents are very, very caring and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I went to primary school and secondary school as well in Lagos. And then my secondary school was the school where my dad was a principal. So I can imagine I had to be proper because, and I remember, I mean, this is just a random story. I remember then this midnight call thing just started. And I mean, it was fun to me. I didn't even have any boyfriend, to be honest, at the time. And I was just having this cool midnight call with my friends. It was a conference call. It was free. And my dad just heard me. Peace, I was going to be flogged on the assembly. It was horrible.
From us to assembly ground.
In fact, I was going to say, that was how much I had to be, you know, pretty much because my parents, but yeah. Aside that though, they're very welcoming. It was easy to talk to them. And even till now, I'm like the typical daddy's girl.
So you have siblings?
No, actually.
Oh, so you're the only child?
Yes, I am.
That's interesting. What would you say was your all-time favorite childhood memory?
Going out with my dad. Yeah, so we used to do a lot of dates. So when it's like maybe my birthday, Children's Day, Easter, all that kind of stuff, I was always so excited because my dad was going to take me. So I'm going to dress up and go and get my outfits. My mom would be like, okay,
so
I know you guys
cool.
are going out, so you would dress up and they would go out and all that kind of stuff. So I think going out with my dad was...
Are you guys still very close?
Very, very close.
Is there a lesson or two that you learned from your dad that still like guides you as a person right now?
I think that... When looking at then growing up and like relationship with, you know, the other party in general, I think that I just didn't have like the bias that people now have with, you know, the opposite sex. It's just because of the relationship I had with my dad. So I never really experienced, you know, any kind of negative. So I just never had that. So I never had this mindset, strict
yeah.
mindset, you know, about the no, I never had that because of the kind of relationship. He is very responsible and very invested, so I just really never had that.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that's really nice. So tell me about school, right? You went to UNILAG, you studied physiotherapy. Did
yes.
you want to study medicine?
Yes. You caught you. Yeah, I wanted to study medicine. So, in terms of school, I wanted to go to UI, but my dad went to UNILAG, and then I also had this uncle that's very close to, of blessed memory, who also went to UNILAG. So my dad as a daddy's girl, you wanted me to go to UNILAG. So eventually I was like, you know what? It wasn't the last option. So I just went and took the pursuit and all that kind of stuff. And then I got in through what they call the diploma, this diploma thing that they do. And then when you pass the diploma, you will get into 200 levels. So when they gave me physiotherapy for the diploma, I just felt like when I'm done, I would then move to medicine. Because if you really do well, yeah. Which I eventually did. But for some reason, I had like a family friend who wanted to, you know, move me to, I said, no, I just find this physiotherapy thing very interesting. That nobody's doing physiotherapy. You know what? I don't think I want to go to medicine. Everyone is to medicine. Let me just stay in physiotherapy. So I tried to stay in physiotherapy. I just found it very fascinating and just felt like it was something I would enjoy doing. So anyway, I got into physiotherapy, and then in UNILAG, what happens is that like your first year, you would spend it at the University of Lagos campus. And then from your second year, they will move you to Idaraba, Luth. And then you finish up like, so okay. I did 4 years there. So I mean, I started to do physiotherapy. It was interesting. It was okay, but I realized that by my third year, I started to feel like, you know what, it was good, I was doing well, but I knew I wasn't going to like do clinical right. physiotherapy. And even if I had done medicine, I mean, thinking about it and reflecting, I'm not quite sure I would also have practiced, you know. I started to realize that I was very interested in other things, in healthcare, like, okay. you know, yeah, healthcare administration, you know, all that kind of stuff. Tech wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to say that, you know, I was interested in tech at that time, because I mean, it was like 2009, 2010.
So it was just health.
Yeah, it was just health. I just knew that, you know, I was going to do stuff in health. Okay, so I think that what was also a turning point for me was in my 400, no, my 300 or 400, I can't even seem to remember right now, I decided to contest. So I had taken several positions on like the departmental level, but then the College of Medicine has like this unified body called COMSA. And it's like a student union government for, you know, those in Lod. So it covered like every department, medicine, physiotherapy, pharmacy, all that kind of stuff. So I decided to contest for vice president, and it was very unusual. What was very unusual was that, you know, the department I was coming from, physiotherapy, I'm not quite sure anyone from physiotherapy had gone for that position.
Right.
And it was big, it was serious business thing. Like, it's kind of, it's literally like, I would always say that it's a mirror of like the Nigerian politics. That's how it was. Like, you have to do posters, you go to classes to campaign, you would go to rooms, you would take like pictures, you would come up with a tag, all that kind of stuff. So it was very major for me. And I feel like that was a very turning point for me in school. My parents, as usual, were very supportive. In fact, my mom was scared, but my dad, he even sent money for my campaign. He said, go, that's my daughter. So anyway, I contested for that. And then when I eventually won, because I had...
Oh, so you did win.
Oh, yeah, I did win. I had someone, I think, from pharmacy who contested against me. But that was a very... that was a game changer for me, because it sort of exposed me to leadership. It
right.
exposed me to managing people. You had to, like... You were responsible for everyone in school, literally.
Right.
So it was a turning point for me, not just in school, but I think in life in general. Mm. That experience was definitely...
And it was mostly because of the leadership angle from it.
Yes, it was a leadership angle. And then there was the way the thing is that the kind of exposure it also gave. So you'd usually have like meetings with, apart from the provost of the school, you would have like meetings with the vice chancellor of UNILAG. You'd have like external meetings. The SUG also had like an old building that we had to manage. So it was just different from what I was used to. And I felt
right.
like that kind of reiterated my
exposure.
Yeah. I feel like it kind of reiterated and just kind of helped me really understand that, you know what, I don't want to do clinical practice.
Mm.
I want to do something around leadership, around business or whatever it is, but not just the typical clinical practice, yeah.
That's interesting. So I know that when I looked through your LinkedIn, so you did radio for a while,
yeah.
then you went to Bora and you were like a communications officer before Baby Migo. So run me through your campaign, your career up until when you started Baby Migo.
Okay, so when I finished from school, I mean, it's kind of, it wasn't like a linear path. It wasn't like just one straight line. It was kind of, you know, turnings here and there. But when I finished from UNILAG, you have to like this 1 year compulsory internship. So I did it in a private hospital, a very popular private hospital in Surulere. So during that time, I had also volunteered with a body very popular to in healthcare called the Nigerian Healthcare Excellence Awards. And that experience also was very, it kind of opened me up to communications and media.
Right.
Now for media, I'd always been involved in media from even when I was in school. Right. So because of healthcare, so like I said, I've never been like a clinical practice person, but I've always enjoyed every other part of healthcare. So
right.
that kind of pushed me to media and healthcare as well.
Right.
So I had like a health show Onyilag FM.
Right.
I went ahead to Rhythm FM. I went to Silverbed. So it was like, it was overlapping.
So you're doing media, but really about health.
Yes, it was about health, yeah. So so when I worked at Havana Hospital, I also, I headed the women's health unit. So what we used to do then was that I think every Wednesday would have women come to the department and they would have to do like stuff like Kegel exercises, all that kind of medical stuff, you know, for them. And I would realize how interesting they really enjoyed it. And beyond that, they would always chat with one another. I just felt like they enjoyed the community that brought. So anyway, eventually at some point, like I said, it wasn't like a linear path.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of did all these things here and there. In 2016, I then met my co-founder, Adeleye Olarinwaju. I mean, absolutely brilliant, very brilliant. One of the most intelligent people that I've met. Intelligent and very strategic. So I met him, and he's a like techie person.
Right.
And so I met him in 2016. We didn't have the plan for Baby Migo or anything at the time, because he was doing Safer Mom. So we didn't really have that plan. But anyway, we got talking, and one thing later, and then in 2018, we then decided to start Baby Migo. Like I said, it wasn't a linear path for me, because even in 2018, when we started, and it was I joined as the co-founder, I wasn't actively involved in the day-to-day running, like now that, you know, I'm not the CEO. So yeah, that's how that was.
So tell me more about just starting Baby Migo. Like, at what point did you and Olarinwaju decide, you know what, this is something that we want to build together? What was your role like? What was those very early 12 months like for Baby Migo?
Well, the early 12 months in 2018, in fact, if I have to be very honest, I'd say that we didn't really start. I mean, we always say we started in 2018, but to be honest, we didn't really start till really much later, because 2018 and early 2019 was a lot on building the product. It was a lot of building the product. We had, you know, quite a couple of public interaction, but it was a lot of building the product. Long hours. Like I said, for me, my area of expertise is a lot around marketing, communications, and also Ola, my co-founder, you know, was the one who really had that tech experience, tech background. So, but for me, it was really more of marketing, you know, communications and all that kind of stuff. So the early days for us was a lot of hard work. And, you know, maybe as we continue, I'll really just share how that, you know, I feel like it's building is a long-term game.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is really a long-term game. If you're looking for like fast, quick wins,
right?
I'm not sure that building a startup is the best way. I don't think so. And what's also interesting is that people see a lot of startups right now that are doing very well, and you kind of, which is why I like the angle of, you know, Founders Connect. When you really listen to their story, you find that many of them have maybe done other things in the past that have sort of now led them to that point where they were able to fast track. They had that what we call overnight success, right? So it was really long hours of building the product.
Yeah. So when you guys eventually built the product and started to launch, how did you guys get first set of models to even adopt it?
We did a lot of ads, definitely. We use social media, but it's really important to mention that it's a big need in the market. I mean, we were solving a real problem, right? So for anyone, I mean, you may not have had kids and all of that, but for like any parent, community is major. And let's even leave parenting and pregnancy and all that kind of stuff. Even something as simple as career, you'd most likely thrive better if you're in a community with other people that are in the same career path as you are. I mean, I think I watched one of your videos and you had mentioned that when you got to, you know, London, how that you met up with other tech entrepreneurs. So I feel like community is extremely important to thrive in whatever it is that you're doing. So with that being said, because we're solving a genuine problem, how that, you know, a lot of, especially new moms, like you've not had a baby, you've spent all of your life cruising around town, enjoying life, then you get married, all of a sudden you need to take care of someone else. Like, where do you even start from? How would you bath for the baby? What will you do? How do you even go about it? So, I mean, we used a lot of social media and media, but it was, I wouldn't use the word easy, but it was, moms accepted what we were doing very quickly, because it was something that they really needed. I mean, we get calls like every day, I get a lot of messages every day, moms really sharing, oh, thank you very much. I mean, even with our new products, of mom really sharing all of these things. So it's a genuine, we're really solving like a real problem that moms can relate to.
Yeah. And tell me what that real problem is, because I was just like, oh, some people might not know exactly what Baby Migo is. So how would you describe Baby Migo?
Okay, so Baby Migo is Nigeria's fastest growing parenting and pregnancy platform community. And what we do is that we provide tools resources, now culturally relevant tools and resources. So the thing is that people can say something like, oh, you know what, there are other parenting platforms in the US and the UK, but the challenges that are peculiar to the Nigerian environment, to the African environment, it's very unique. Sure. You can't, a mom who has a baby, like a citizen of London, or you give it to your baby in the US or whatever it is. I mean, you may not have the problem of your mom coming for Omugwo and force feeding your baby. You may not have to hear anything about, oh, your baby is having hiccups, let me put thread. Like, what does the American know about something like that? Like, where does that even come from? You know, and these things are numerous. I can't even count like several things that I hear.
Yeah.
You know, people, their baby doesn't turn at 9 months and they say they want to take Agbo. Like, where do you hear that in developed countries, right? So we're building for our people. Mm. You know, there may be other platforms, but we are solving a culturally relevant problem. And so what we do is that we provide community, we build tools, and then we also provide resources and hyperlocal support services. So right. In addition to all of the tools and resources that we provide, we also provide services that are peculiar and important for the African mom. And a few features of the platform is that, one, we have community groups on different things, you know, from postpartum depression to, I mean, you're a first-time mom, you can join, to prayer. You know, I mean, in other countries, in developed countries, prayer might not be a big deal, but for Nigerian moms, watch your babies fasting and prayer, what you're about to, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we have different communities on the platform. Another key feature of the platform is a Q&A feature, which, in fact, the reception to that has always been amazing. So what happens is that moms can create an account on the platform, ask a question, and we have doctors and nurses on standby that answer.
Right.
So we have like a roster and all that kind of stuff, and then they answer your question. That's extremely important because the big challenge as well with motherhood is that there's so many questions. I mean, if you ask an average mom whose baby is, say, 2, and you say, how many times have you had questions that you'd like someone to answer? They'll say maybe 100 times. Because, and if very interesting thing about motherhood and children and all that kind of stuff is that your child won't have been doing this thing, and then they just maybe turn 12 months, and they just start another kind of character, behavior. You know, that where do I even start from? Imagine a baby that was running all around all through the day, and then at night, baby starts running fever at 2 a.m. Where do you even go to?
Mm.
So the Q&A feature has been extremely helpful for moms. In addition to that, we also have different tools like the ovulation calculator, the baby named calendar, the immunization calendar, where you can actually put your baby's date of birth, and then it kind of shows you in the calendar format all of the immunizations that your baby needs, right, and the right dates for that. We also provide like resources on a daily basis now. So every day there's a new article or resource up on the platform on different things. Like I said, with parenting and motherhood, the questions and the resources are limitless.
Mm.
So we talk about different things. I mean, I think it was yesterday. The article that we shared on the platform was about placenta. And even myself, I learned quite a lot, you know, around that, you know, how that some people in Nigeria, they use placenta for skincare, some bury, some eat, some burn. It just...
And so, who writes these articles?
So we have a team of experts.
Right.
Pediatricians, gynecologists, nutritionists, nurses, content writers. So we have a very, a well-vetted team to write these articles.
That makes sense. I mean, sounds like you've built like a brilliant platform that has tools, resources, support. You can speak to doctors. You can get articles from like specialists. Are there any core mistakes that you guys have made though before you got to this point in how you built Baby Migo?
Well, a lot of mistakes. I feel like the major one for us is that, you know, I mentioned that in 2018, we spent a lot of time, you know, my co-founder, especially building the tech part of things. And one thing that I wish we did more of was involving moms more in building the product.
Mm.
So we had a lot of adoption, like I said. But, you know, adoption is different from involving these women
in how you're
building the product.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to, oh, no, they would prefer, because you are thinking, oh, moms would prefer A, and they would actually prefer B, right? Or they would prefer A over B, all that kind of stuff. So I wish that the point where we were building the product, that we involved the moms, you know, like focus groups like we now do now, that we had that at the beginning, it would have really helped us, right, to, you know, in terms of
like
the mistakes that we made. Yeah.
Are there any other mistakes aside involving moms?
Well, so...
Or what would you say has been the biggest challenge so far?
Yeah, I'll definitely say that. I think that for me definitely has to be like the biggest challenge that we had, because we now eventually had to launch the 2.0 version of the platform early this year. And it was a lot from the lessons that we learned, a lot from the feedback from the moms, and that sort of helped us to now rebuild the platform. So maybe we won't have had to, but every platform, even we go through 2.0 and all that kind of stuff, but maybe we won't have had to go through that quickly if we had involved them from the beginning.
Right.
And
that makes sense. And for you as a person, how would you say building a platform around parenting and motherhood has maybe changed or influenced you as a person?
I think it has made me very compassionate to women. It's when we say things like, oh, gender equality, gender equity, we don't really understand what women go through in the process of having a baby, pregnancy. It's a game changer, literally. It's a game changer. I've seen pictures of, let's even start with physical appearance. I've seen pictures of women, how they were looking before they had a baby, and then they have a baby, and it just changes. It literally messes women up if you're not careful, right? From physical to even sometimes some women just are having hair loss. You had hair before you were pregnant, then you now have your baby and your hair just starts coming off, right? And what is also interesting is that you can't even tell what is going to be. That's the honest. Like, you can't, no matter what everyone says, no matter the stories that you hear, you can't tell. So I think that personally, being the platform has helped me to be more compassionate to women. Yeah, and of course, from running a business, leadership, managing people, I think that managing people, when you asked about challenges, I think the managing people was also a major challenge that we had, at the beginning, finding the right talent, right? I also mentioned that you're building the product and all of that. It was later we realized that beyond building the tech part of things, it was also very important for us to focus a lot on quality talent with regards to content. Mm. Content is a huge part of what we do because of the problem we're solving. Yeah. So beyond tech, I wish at the much earlier we sort of really focused on content as much as we now do.
Right.
I think it would have been very
so not just building the tech platform, but like the main content.
The main content. It was very important. Because we realized that even now how moms find us beyond media and all that kind of stuff, social media and all that, is that you search for something, search for a hospital, you most likely find it on BabyMeGo.
Right.
You check a question, what do I use my baby's placenta?
Right.
What do I do to so content was very key. Would have been very helpful
in the early stages. Well, I mean, it's helpful now, right? Because you have completed a lot of SEO strength.
Yes.
That makes sense. I mean, so when we think about your journey, right, doing physiotherapy, doing a bit of radio and doing comms, how do you sort of like, aside, we talked about when you were in UNILAG and being vice president, that helped your leadership skill. And I can assume that also has helped you become a better leader now because you had that. But aside being a leader in school, just doing radio and being in healthcare in school and then having like a stint in communications, how have you brought those skills or those experiences into how you are building and leading at BabyMeGo?
That has been very helpful because, like I said, my co-founder is a tech person. So he has brought like that product, tech and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then what I have brought is marketing. So because of my past, and one thing that, I think I was just even talking about it on LinkedIn a few weeks ago or something, how that we don't realize that as founders or as business owners, your past experiences are very valid in helping you with your current enterprise. So say, for example, you're running, let's even say something like BabyMeGo, and your previous experience was in finance, it would still be very helpful if you really identify. Yeah. Transferable skills, very extremely important. And so for me, it's really been more of transferable skills. So even in how we run our communications, how we do our social media, all of that has been because of the experience that I have, in media, in communications, in marketing, because I also worked in healthcare. I managed business of a particular company across the different telcos for I think about 2 years. So all of that has been very helpful, even in how we're thinking. So recently, I think this is like a way to sort of, elaborate more on that. Our business model has always been on brand partnerships. So late last year, it's about early this year, we decided to also focus on direct to consumer. So we decided that, we're going to do brand partnerships, of course, on the side. But in addition to that, we want to launch products directly to moms that moms will be interested in. And, that was very important because then that would now show like, communication skills, media skills and all that kind of stuff, because you now need to market to these women. And that has been amazing. So we launched one product last year, and then we've launched two this year. And I think we're sort of holding off on that. And you know, so the first one that we launched, well, two this year, has been Mama Care. And what we did was that, I always say that having a baby is not cheap. So it's not cheap, because aside, like before, when you go out, you know, you buy stuff for yourself. You look good, you buy. Now you have these tiny children that you have to buy stuff for. And you see people on Instagram where, you know, having cute babies. You want your baby to be cute. And having a cute baby is not easy, right? So you have to buy all these things. So having a child is not cheap. And so what we did was that we decided to collaborate with over 120 hospitals to be able to offer discounted services to moms. So moms, and we've now added, there are more hospitals. It's more than 120 now. So moms can actually go to different hospitals, not just in Lagos, across different, you know, states in Nigeria, and access care. And the care covers antenatal, child delivery, either a cesarean section or vaginal delivery, and it also covers baby care phase up until the baby is one, because that period is also very extremely important, immunizations and all that kind of stuff. And then we also launched these digital antenatal classes as well, and that was from the lessons that we learned during COVID. So realize that during COVID, COVID just sort of exposed and showed us that, you know what, the solution that what we're building is more important now than ever, right? You know, before, moms would maybe, you'd naturally not be doing maybe remote work, and then you go to work, you'd talk to your, what's it called, your colleagues and ask questions. Yeah. But now you're working remotely and you are pregnant. It's just your husband. Even maybe your husband is not, who would you ask questions? So we realized that the solution that we're building, so we introduced what we call Prep Class, which is like a digital antenatal service, you know, for moms that supports them throughout the pregnancy period up until 2 weeks postpartum.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, kids are doing brilliant. Like, the more you talk about the products, the more impressed I am. And I know Baby Migo before, right? What are the things that you're most proud of? What traction have you had, or what impact have you had that you're like, oh, because we're able to do this, or because we're able to hit this number, is something that I'll always be grateful for?
I'll say the first one has to be impact. So because of the kind of industry that we operate in, impact is somewhat is extremely important, because the feedback, how, I mean, in addition to, of course, key metrics like numbers used, and I'm going to touch on that, one of the ways that you know that you're doing the right thing is really the feedback from the moms. Imagine a mom who just got pregnant, didn't know what to do, and she finds your platform, and she's coming back to you and saying that, you know what, because I found Baby Migo because of what you guys are doing, and this is how it has impacted me, right? So I'd say that impact has been the biggest, and the feedback that we've gotten from moms. The second thing I'll definitely say will be our user base. So we've grown to about over 200,000 since we started.
And mostly mothers, right?
Yes. We just... But you know what? Very interesting thing is that recently men, and I must commend men, and that's why I said that this work kind of shows me a different side to things that people don't really usually talk about. I really must commend the men of this generation. Men are becoming more involved in pregnancy and all that kind of stuff, way more than you can think. Mm. There's a lot of bans around, you know, men are da-da-da-da-da. But trust me, when we launched Mama Care a few months ago, right, beyond the moms that are registering, men are actually registering for the service, for their spouse. Mm. And they are calling to say, I want to know more about this thing for my wife. Mm. I want to know more about this thing for my girlfriend, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, we've also had men be a part of what we're doing. Very important. So in addition to impact, definitely users, we've grown our users. We also had quite a number of recognitions, you know, from Google. We've had the one from Google. We've had from Facebook. My co-founder was also an Elizabeth Queen's, a Queen's Young Leader. We had one from the U.S. Department of State towards the end of last year. So we've had quite a number of recognitions for the work that we're doing with maternal and child care in the continent of
Africa.
That
makes sense. Have you guys raised money?
So we've raised Proceed. We're looking to now raise, but the focus right now for us, and I mentioned that we're now launching direct-to-consumer products.
Yeah.
So just for the next few months, we really want to focus heavy on these direct-to-consumer products. We've launched three, so I'm not quite sure we're going to launch any more right now.
But one will
scale those products very.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when I was looking at your LinkedIn, I saw that you guys don't have like a lot of employees, and I'm like, for the amount of traction that you guys have, at least from the outside, and we're just hearing what you're saying now, and the amount of tools and resources and specialists that you have, how have you been able to manage to build such a lean team, but also scale really well?
So I'm a big believer in focusing on what will take you to your next level. Mm. So the challenge I found with, well, I won't call it a challenge, I think to each man his own. The thing with startups sometimes is that you're getting resources that you don't necessarily, that is good to have. It's a nice to have, but it's not a must have. So we're very clear on our vision. There's no, like, we know what the next 3 months look like. And my focus is, what do we need to get, what either talent, people. And then the thing to do is that with our nurses and our doctors and all that kind of stuff, the way the Nigerian healthcare system operates, there's a lot of brain drain. So apart from a few doctors that you'd have on a full-time basis, you can't really expect 20, 25 nurses to stop working in the hospital. To, it can't really work, unfortunately, because of the issue that we have in Nigeria. So we have quite a number of all those nurses that are also working in the hospital, which I think is a good thing. In fact, personally, when I interview the nurses that work with us or doctors and all that kind of stuff, I always make sure that they are working with women and children on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So I ask them, what do you do? So you find that many of them, they are giving antenatal classes on a regular basis. They are in the world, they are delivering babies.
So they still have that fresh context every time.
It's extremely important. So that when they're answering those questions, they know, so it's not someone that hasn't even worked for 5 years. How do you really educate these moms, right? So for me, we're very focused on the must-haves and not the nice-to-haves. That may change. I mean, life is about change. That may change. That may change in the next few months or something. But we try to focus on, you know, what do we really need to get done in the next 3 months, and what do we need to get
so
done?
So would I be right if I assume that most of the people who then work on your team are actually nurses and doctors, or people in the medical field who then sort of contribute content to the platform, and then people who are just there to like do Q&A, and less of maybe the in-house administrative staff?
Oh, we do have in-house administrative staff on a day-to-day. That's we have, and if we have in-house, definitely do have in-house administrative staff. And because the thing too is that, I mean, in Nigeria, if you have those kind of people, you need to have people that are coordinating them.
Yeah.
If you don't have that coordinated, things will not get done. So we do have in-house administrative staff. We have content team, social media, all that kind of stuff, marketing, sales. But a lot of our staff, to be honest, are mostly medical. Right. But then we now have like our
people to
manage
it together.
Put it together.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, in the last 4 years of just building Baby Migo as an entrepreneur, especially as a woman doing entrepreneurship, what's the one lesson that has just really stuck?
I'd say building for the long term. I think because, I mean, like I shared, I'm not sure if it was now or before we started this interview, you know, how I had said that the thing is that when we look at founders, even founders of companies in, you know, abroad and all that kind of stuff, is this to say, oh, I mean, look at the founder of Zoom. It blew up. It looked like an overnight success during COVID.
But they've been there for a while.
But they've been there for a while, building and trying to find. So I think the biggest lesson for me has been building for the long term. Building for the long term, knowing that it's not a short term. It's not just like a quick win, right? That you want to get. It's really, really building for the long term.
And would that be the same answer if we were to direct the advice to women who want to start building their businesses?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think what people like to say, so to be honest, please, people always ask a lot of questions around women in tech and all that kind of stuff. Personally, I run the business like irregular. I don't try to put, of course, there may be different biases and things like that to women, but to be honest, I don't really pay attention to it. I've run it like,
I just focus on my thing.
So if there are any, maybe, for example, you have a meeting and someone is trying to say, because you're a woman, I don't even have the time because I'm very assertive. I'm very firm and clear. Whatever it is that we need to do, I come to meetings like I'm ready for business. I'm not coming to meeting smiling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I try to handle the business like a leader. I don't like to look at any form of gender because I feel like if you focus too much on, if you constantly use being a woman as an excuse, and this is not to invalidate conversations around women, absolutely not. I'm sure that even myself, I may have faced those things, but I just don't give it a minute. You know, I don't even bother. I just keep it moving.
Makes sense. And my final question, is there anything that you'd have wanted me to ask you that I didn't?
No.
Or something you wanted to share, but the conversation didn't swing that way to give you the opportunity to?
Well, no, not exactly. Well, I mean, I spoke about my co-founder, you know, who I'm very thankful, you know, because to be honest, he sort of was the CEO for, you know, for the early part of the business.
Right, so why did you guys switch?
COVID. Well, I think it was just a matter of one after COVID. I think I mentioned prior to the interview that COVID was a very reflective period for us, right? And after COVID, we just realized that, of course, one, I'm a woman, but that wasn't just the only reason. It was just more of a priority change for us, and we just felt like it was something that I could, you know, take on now fully, and it was just the perfect time for me to take on this.
If you're going to go back, would you still take the role as CEO?
Absolutely, I absolutely enjoy what we do. I enjoy the team that we have. We were finally able to crack team building, so I enjoy the team that we have. I'm excited for the future.
and what is that future? If you're going to share in a few minutes.
I'd say one, definitely expansion. We have a lot of expansion plans. We are also looking to scale our products, like I've mentioned. There's a lot of funding, discussions as well going on. I mean, there's a lot, and I'm excited for what's to come.
That's amazing. I think the one thing that has really struck me from the interview is when you said that a lot of the things that you've done has kind of just led you to here. When you're mentioning that, oh, so you've always like helped, but then you're not really particular about doing something in health, but you ended up here, and just kind of like the importance of just continuing that line. And then when you also mentioned, like, if there's something that you guys would do differently, it would be to build with mothers in mind from the one, and not just like, oh, I have this idea, let me just go ahead and build the product. But how do we take like people feedback? Because a lot of people just start and they just run with the idea, but you forget you're building for someone, and those are the people that really matter when building. So yeah, I've definitely learned a few things from your story. So thank you so much for sharing me. Do you have any last words before we close?
No, I don't think I have. I think I've said a lot.
but it was everything was awesome. Just like learning about, and you know, something that struck as well was when I said to explain Baby Migo, and you just kept going and kept going. I'm like, yeah, this is someone that really knows her product and loves to talk about the product. So yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for sitting down with me to have this conversation.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast to the end. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have been inspired or motivated to get better in your careers, in your businesses, in your life. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the videos on my YouTube channel at PCTimi, or just search for Founders Connect and you'll find the playlist and then subscribe to the channel. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Leave a rating also so more people can find it, and also talk about the episode that you listen to. #FoundersConnect across social media. Hey, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.